This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Wednesday morning, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It is January 15th. It's episode 827. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears the same thing wrong.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. As Glenn mentioned, it is Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's day of Wheel of Trivia. And so I want people to, you know, start lining up. Oh, my gosh, we already have people that have called. There's people on hold
on the ball today.
I know, you guys. It's great. That's so exciting. And, you know, it may not stay like Wheel of Trivia for long. So these people, you know, you guys that are listening, you need to get your phone calls in while the getting's good. That's what I'm saying.
347-637-3238. 347-637-3238. And you can always find that on our website at horsesinthemorning.com right at the top of the page.
Yeah, it's not the easiest number. Yes, we did try to get something that was like, want to get 100 horses, and get it.
No.
That was the only number they'd give us.
Yeah, that was it. I took me a long time. We've been doing this show for like 2.5 years, 3 years, whatever it is now. And I just now can remember that number. I have it written down in front of me, though.
I still have it taped to my computer. So it's a pain for everybody, but you're going to want to get your calls in right now because today is the Wheel of Trivia, 347-637-3238. We do have a regular show for you as well. We will follow that up with some guests. Jennifer, who is coming up on today's show?
On today's Not Ready for Primetime Wednesday edition, following the Wednesday Laugh Fest, known as the Equity MFG Wheel of Trivia, we head across the pond for the European Report, compliments of the velvet voice of Horse and Country TV, Victoria Spicer. And in the third half of the show, the Horse Health Report noses around noxious weeds. And on this day in history, two very important openings occurred. So important, in fact, that you could say our world would not be as it is had these two things not happened. In 1943, the Pentagon opened, and in 1974, Happy Days premiered on CBS.
Woohoo! Happy Days. I love that show. Used to watch that show all the time with my brothers. And we were not watching reruns. We were watching it when it originally aired. Those were the days when you had three stations, or some people had two, and you didn't have much in the way of choices. But Happy Days was one of those shows. I grew up with Happy Days. I could watch Happy Days.
Probably that's one of the shows where if you wanted to change the channel, you'd have to get up, guys, and walk across the room.
Oh, yeah. And you couldn't just sit by the TV because your mom would say, you're going to get cancer from sitting so close to the TV set. So you always had to get up and walk across because you weren't allowed to sit next to it. I don't think anybody ever got cancer from sitting next to the TV set, but moms were good at it.
Never know.
Moms were good at it. I have a Daily Winnie today, and this is a first. This is a first for all the thousands of Daily Winnies that we have done. It's the first time that I'm giving Congress My Daily Winnie. That's right. The Congress of the United States are getting My Daily Winnie. And that is because they have written into the most current budget bill to cut the funding for the Department of Agriculture testing of equine killing facilities, in other words, horse slaughterhouses. So they have put back into this year's budget bill that they would not fund inspections for the slaughterhouses, which is what they had done for so many years before. And then it dropped out of the budget bill, what, a year or two ago? And then they've been all these court battles and everything trying to open slaughterhouses. Well, if it passes this week, I think it's going to be voted on this week. If the it's the whole budget passes, then we will once again see the end of even the talk of slaughterhouses in the United States. So,
thank God.
There you go. That's my good news for the day, and the only time we're probably ever going to hear Congress getting a Daily Winnie from either one of us. So,
well, my Daily Winnie is going to go out. This is to Lionheart. Lionheart is pulling through. Let me start with, he's going to be okay. Lionheart, of course, is the event horse that used to belong or was jockeyed by William Fox Pitt. Well, recently, Lionheart was purchased by Alison Springer and her group of investors. And so, of course, Lionheart was William Fox Pitt, Olympic mount. And I mean, this horse is four star. Sold to Alison Springer, gets over here, and just had to have colic surgery.
Wow. So, I didn't know that.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, oh, so devastating. But according to Alison Springer Eventing, this is what she said. She said, this morning, Lion began showing signs of colic and not wanting to take any chances. We took him to Palm Beach Equine, where ultimately the decision was made to perform colic surgery. Once in surgery, the doctors were able to quickly find and resolve an impaction in his small intestine. We were incredibly fortunate to have caught things very early, and as a result, his surgery was minor in comparison to most colic surgeries that take place. Lion woke up from surgery well, and all of the vets involved are optimistic that he'll have a quick, non-complicated recovery. We're not out of the woods yet, but she appreciates everybody keeping, you know, them in your thoughts and prayers. So, isn't that just...
Geez, she can't even have ridden the horse yet. I mean, it just got here. Wow.
I know. It just got here, and then to need colic surgery is heartbreaking. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Wonder what kind of contingencies are in contracts for that kind of thing and those big deals like that.
Insurance policy in place.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I hope so. I hope it was in place before the colic surgery. Well,
oh, I bet you it was in place a long time ago. But he's going to be okay. He's looking a lot better, apparently.
Well, I have a follow-up to our show yesterday. If you were listening to the Endurance Show with Karen Chatton, and by the way, give us a call right now. There's two lines open, it looks like, for the Wheel of Trivia, 347-637-3238. Jennifer, you can go ahead and start lining up the others that are on the line. Well, this is a follow-up to yesterday's story. We talked a lot about it on the Endurance Show yesterday, how the American Endurance Ride Conference is... there's a lot of talk with the American Endurance Ride Conference, which is the U.S. national governing body for endurance, that they are now basically in a battle with the FEI, demanding that the FEI put more stringent drug testing and things with all the problems that have happened with drugs being found coming out of the Middle Eastern horses. And, you know, there's been a number of horses that have died from it, and it's just been an issue, and it's all related to that one part of the world. So the AERC was the one that was standing up and saying, look, you guys have to do something about this. And the AERC was threatening to bar FEI rides from running alongside the U.S. national rides. And it's getting some attention now. You know, we discussed it yesterday. There's people on both sides here in the United States that think that the AERC should be doing this, some that don't. But the Telegraph, which is one of the major papers there in England, now quoted the AERC, and they said the American Endurance Ride Conference, the U.S. national governing body, has demanded more transparency about injuries and is considering barring FEI rides from running alongside U.S. national events if the FEI does not achieve short-term improvements. One senior figure has even called for endurance racing in the Middle East to be disowned by the FEI, while the national governing body of the sport in America is considering banning FEI competitions, a common practice worldwide, if the crisis is not addressed this season. So it's getting some notice now around the world, not just here in the United States. So that's a good thing. Hopefully there will be some changes that will come down. Although, when you're dealing with the richest man in the world and his wife is running the FEI, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to see happen, but
that's the sketchy thing is that it's his like the president of the FBI. It's her husband that's been caught so many times. Just yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, but the you know then and it really takes some guts on the AERC's. You know, it takes some guts for that group to be standing up and you know demanding some change. It takes some guts because they know they're out on a limb. So. We'll see what happens with it. I just wanted to follow that up, that it is getting some attention, and we'll keep following that, and definitely we'll be talking about it on the next day that Karen Chatton's back for Endurance Day.
Wheel of Trivia, let's go.
All right, Wheel of Trivia. Looks like there's some callers coming in. That's terrific.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week, unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
Well, that's right. This is the second to last time we're going to be playing the Wheel of Trivia. Then we have a new game coming on board for Wednesday mornings. So we definitely want you to get your calls in. Now there's one line open, 347-637-3238. We'll try and get to as many people as we can today. If you get the answer correct, which Jamie's going to give you the categories here shortly, she's going to ask you a trivia question. You have 5 seconds to answer. And if you get it correct, you're going to hear the bell. If you get it incorrect, you are going to hear, and I'm going to miss this. Well, maybe we'll keep this. You'll hear the high school buzzer. So that is how the game is played, and Jamie's going to tell you the categories right now.
The categories today, Glenn, are puzzling parts, disciplinary action, horsey headlines, and wait, that's it. So three. Horsey headlines, disciplinary action, and puzzling parts. Those are your selections. Who will be our first caller, Glenn?
It looks like Ada in New Jersey is first up today.
Good morning, Ada.
And I'm trying to get Ada off hold, and that is not working well. So let me hold on a second.
Hang in there, Ada.
Hang in. Can you hear us, Ada? I'm not having any luck. My studio has locked up, Jamie. Do you have it open?
Yeah, but it's not working with mine. I'm going to put her on hold. Let's see if we can get somebody else. Let's go to Lynn. Lynn, are you there? Oh my gosh, our little computer thing's not working, Glenn. What are we going
to
do?
And Jennifer's talking to other people. Maybe Jennifer has some control when she gets back here. So, in the meantime,
Lynn,
you want me to ask
you
a question?
Lynn.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good.
I got Lynn! Yay! So mine's working. Ada will go to you next. All right. Lynn, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good for being this early in the morning, but not as early as you.
Well, you're in Michigan, so you've got cold, right? Is there snow on the ground?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have snow. We have ice. My driveway looks like a luge run. we got the 24 inches. We had 18 on top of 7. And then we had rain.
That's enough. That's plenty.
Can I ask you a personal question? Why do you live there?
because I was born here and I got a good job.
That'll do it.
I can't leave.
That'll do it.
Actually, I like snow, but I'm getting a little tired of this. I spend my life on the end of a shovel. It's either poop or snow, or poop or snow, or, and then in between I can do firewood.
I love it. I spend my life on the edge of a shovel. That's awesome. All right, well, what category would you like, Lynn? Would you like puzzling parts, disciplinary action, or horsey headlines?
I guess I'll try puzzling parts.
Puzzling parts. Sorry. Well, this one is multiple choice, so you have a 33.3% chance of getting it right, even if you don't know it. So that's positive, right?
You gotta love that wag.
All right. Where is the radial nerve found? Is it A, the shoulder? Is it B, the stifle? Or is it C, the hock?
Oh, God.
Five seconds.
I'm gonna guess shoulder.
That's right. Good guess. Good
wow,
guess.
Well,
yeah, that was a lag.
That was a good guess.
Glenn, you gotta be. That was a great guess. Very good. And so Glenn, take it from here. What's she gonna win?
I am going to spin the wheel and see what you win. We have lots of great prizes on there. And a lot less bummer prizes this week. Gave all those out last week. Let's see what you win. Oh, you win a great prize. This is the Noble Equine Duffel Bag. So this is a $70 value, and it has multiple storage pockets for horse people. It's versatile carry-all. Inside the main compartment, there's two oversized mesh pockets for added storage and organization. One of the roomy side pockets has a strong mesh bottom and waterproof backing for storing dirty items, while the other side has a solid bottom for securing other items. And it has zip enclosures. This is a really cool bag. You're really going to love it. And these are super tough and durable for us horse people. From Noble Eco.
Great.
So this is
that's
terrific.
Cool.
You'll be able to use it. Now, do you use the Equity manure fork yet? You said you're at the end cleaning stalls.
I do. I have mine. That's just a straight. I don't have the shaken fork. I only have to clean two stalls. But yes, and thanks to you guys, because I probably never would have bought one otherwise.
Yay! That's what we like to hear. Yay!
Go over here. Yeah,
isn't
it
great?
A lot of stuff.
Yay!
And my horses like the Redmond Rocks that I won the last time I called in. So, in fact, I need to actually order some now.
Yay! That's we love to hear that. Well, I'm glad you like your Equity. You have the Flexen fork, so I'm glad you like it.
Yep, it's awesome. Yes.
All right, Lynn, hold on,
and we'll
get you. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's the only one you want to use when you're cleaning frozen. Let me tell you.
Definitely.
Hold on. We'll get you the duffel bag. Jennifer will talk to you. All right. Can you still get Ada off a hold? Because I'm still kind of hung up here.
Let's see here. Ada, good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry about that, Ada.
We got you.
That's okay.
All right. Well, how's it going in New Jersey?
Really pretty out.
Really? Well, that's good. Is there snow on the ground for you guys? Not 27 inches, I hope.
No, we had the snow, but then we got the warm and the rain, and the snow is gone, and most everybody got rid of their snow now.
Oh, good. Well, good. I hope you're able to get out and ride your pony. So what category would you like? Would you like puzzling parts, disciplinary action, or horsey headlines?
I'll take the puzzle.
The puzzling parts it is. And again, it's multiple choice, and you have 5 seconds to answer from when I'm done. Glenn, you need to be a stickler.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll be better.
Okay. The coffin bone is also known as what? A, the distal sesamoid, B, the third metacarpal, or C, the distal phalanx?
Say the third one again.
Distal phalanx.
Wrong. Sorry about that.
So sorry. It's actually C, the distal phalanx, but
I that one's really hard. I would have said distal sesamoid too, but remember the sesamoids are in the back of the fetlock. So I would have probably guessed that too. That one was hard. That was hard, Glenn.
I don't make the questions. Talk to my wife.
Well, Ada, thank you so much. Call back next week too, because next week is the last. It's the last classic format of the Wheel of Trivia. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Ada.
All right.
All right. I seem to have control back here, so let's go to Sharon in Canada. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning.
Canada. Where in Canada are you?
We're about 45 minutes out of Ottawa.
Oh my God, she said out of Ottawa. I love it. Oh my God, I love to meet you. We're 35 minutes out of Ottawa, eh? Oh my God, I want to hug you. All right, tell me a little bit about yourself. I got to hear you talk.
We have seven equine. We have a miniature pony and a miniature donkey, and then I have a fjord pony and a warm blood, and I have way too many horses.
I want to come visit you. You have a miniature donkey, and you have all these ponies.
Yeah. I have two quarter horses and a part Canadian and the warm blood. And somebody up here is going to, I don't know if you've heard of him, Pat Wolf. He raises fjord horses. He's going to teach my fjord to drive.
Oh, cool. Yay for you.
Yeah. That'd be cool. So,
that's
going to
be great. Cool. Well, what do you do? What type of riding do you do? You said you had a warm blood.
My coach tries to teach me dressage. And,
I love it. I don't ride dressage, but somebody's trying to teach me.
Somebody's trying to teach me. Ain't working well.
Been trying for years. It just seems to go in one ear and out the other. I started riding Western, and I just can't seem to make that switch.
Well, I was just going to say, have you considered trying something else, maybe, if that's not working?
Well, I'm going to ask for a book for my birthday on Western dressage. I think maybe I could do that.
Girl, let me tell you one thing before we get to the question. The only problem with Western dressage is their saddles are so damn heavy. I can't even carry my husband's saddle out of the tack room. So
they seem a lot lighter. I've got an old Western that has a wooden tree, and that one is really heavy. But the newer ones, I guess they have other, I don't know what they're made of, probably plastic or something, but they're a lot lighter than my old one.
Man, I don't know. My husband's must be wooden, because good Lord, I can't carry that thing 10 feet, much less get it on the back of a warm blood or something. All right, let's move on. What category would you like? Puzzling parts, disciplinary action, or horsey headlines?
Let me try disciplinary action. I haven't heard any of those, so I'm not sure what I'm in for.
Okay, well, that's okay. It's multiple choice as well, 33% chance.
Okay,
in mounted shooting competitions, what is the penalty for dropping your firearm on course? Is it A, 5 seconds? By the way, I have no idea. B, 30 seconds, or C is the penalty elimination for dropping your firearm on course.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear B.
A is 5 seconds, B is 30 seconds, and C is elimination.
I think I'll go with the 5 seconds.
That's correct.
Yay. I do listen to Tammy when she's talking about that.
I didn't know that, though. I listened to Tammy, too, and I didn't know that.
Well, some other things that they had talked about were 5 cent penalties, so I thought, well, it doesn't seem that bad that they should eliminate you. So
you should win just because you're a true listener. I got to give you credit for that. You are a true listener.
As I was telling...
Jennifer,
yeah. I'm usually 2 weeks or a week behind, so I'll be listening to something and they'll say, well, how cold is it? You should call in. I'll think, oh, I should call in, and no, that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
All right, let's spin the wheel.
Thank you for listening.
All right, let's see what you get. Oh, well, you got a terrific prize, and this is something that Jamie is very familiar with and wishes she'd win some of, and that is the Omega Alpha Equine Biotic 8 product.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and they're right up there in Canada with you. The road to health is paved with good intestines. Omega Alpha Equine Biotic 8 is the most broad-spectrum prebiotic and probiotic digestive tract formula to promote better intestinal health for all stages of life from OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Jamie has about 12 horses using that right now. And
yeah.
And they also make the chill, right?
Yes, correct.
Yes, they
do.
She used
about that. So.
Wow.
I got some for my warm blood because when she was being trained, she was really super hyper. So we used it on her.
Well, with all the horses you have, you'll find a use for Biotic 8.
So, for sure.
That won't be a problem.
That's great.
Hold on. Congratulations. Jennifer will get your information.
Thank you.
All right. That's a second winner today. So we're 2 for 2 today so
her.
Far. And
we're 2 for 3.
Two for three. Oh, okay. 2 for 3. Sorry about that. And we have next coming up, I think might be Michael, or is it Michelle in Virginia?
Michael.
Ah, there's Michael.
It's Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. I think Glenn was just having a hard time believing that a guy was actually calling
in. That's
so
right.
It clearly says Michael.
I thought you spelled it wrong.
Glenn just didn't buy it. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. How are things in beautiful, sunny Rolling Hills, Virginia?
They're excellent. I'm actually sitting at my desk trying to get a horse shipped from Pennsylvania to Virginia. So if any of your listeners are listening...
Anybody heading from Pennsylvania down?
Where in Pennsylvania and what kind of horse? I got to know
more. I purchased a Morgan from a farm in Port Matilda, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Windward Farm Morgan Horses, and he's 16 hands. He's a hunter. And I need to get him to me just south of Richmond.
Congratulations on your new pony.
That's
awesome. So you're a hunter rider.
Well, we do primarily Morgans and saddlebreds, and I do a lot of saddle seat, hunter, and western. So,
okay,
just found a good horse and a good prospect. So,
can I ask a quick question? Can I ask a quick question? Are they making Morgans bigger nowadays? Because most of the Morgans I've ever met were not over 16 hands and over. They were more in the 15 and a half range. Is that true that they're getting bigger?
Well, there are some that are bigger. And a lot of the hunters are bigger. And I'm about 5'10", but I like a bigger horse. So I wanted something.
You need a bigger horse.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, cool. Congratulations. I hope you get somebody to bring to you sooner rather than later.
Well, thank you. The snow is slowing me down right now.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. But it's your own fault. It's what you get for living somewhere. okay. Would you like puzzling parts, disciplinary action, or horsey headlines?
We'll go with horsey headlines.
Horsey headlines. Oh, you got to know this one. You're in the horse show world. Name the show jumper who just won, we just talked about this, the USEF Equestrian of the Year for the third time.
Was it Kessler?
Oh, you're gonna hate yourself.
It was Beezy Madden. Beezy Madden.
No.
Yeah, we just talked about it, but that's okay. I really hope you call back next week, and I can't wait to hear it because, first of all, I want to find out if you got your new horse. So, second of all, you can play again.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Right.
Good luck with that.
Bye.
Well, that's it. That's all we have time for, I'm afraid, today. Next week will be the last time we play the traditional wheel.
Can we do like a speed round or something?
No, we have
Come on.
We have to go. Sorry. because we got Victoria's on the line and your baby's crying. So hi baby Luke.
Sorry.
I was just busting your chops.
Yeah, it's fine.
No, it's good. So yeah, we're gonna take. We have to talk a little bit about equity. MFG.com. We mentioned it earlier with one of the callers. And wasn't that cool? People are actually buying the stuff we advertise. I like that. That's a good thing.
I know. We talk about equity, and then also Omega Alpha, our Monday sponsor. So we do appreciate you guys visiting our sponsor. And please tell them that you heard about them from us, because then they'll keep paying our salaries.
That's right. Then we can stay on the air. Salary. Otherwise, it's going to be a very quiet morning show. The morning zoo will be empty.
You know what we'll have to do if they don't tell our sponsors is we're going to have to start fundraising for this. Like, hey, you know, we used to do, you know, thanks for collecting money for, you know, organizations. Now we collect it for ourselves.
Just imagine. Imagine PBS every morning here on the morning show. We have phone lines open, and we have the local pony club manning the phone lines this morning. And you can donate today. And if you don't donate, we don't hear the phones ringing. We're just going to keep jabbering like this for an hour and a half begging you. So it's
yeah, exactly. Well, we don't have to do that, fortunately, thank God, because you're terrible at it, Glenn. Was actually because of equity, MFG.com. You can also find them at shakeandfork.com. They are the sponsor of this, and they're the only manure fork to use.
That's it.
Am I right?
That's it. That's all. That's all we have to really say is it's the best, it's the strongest, it's the sturdiest, it is the sexiest, and what more do you want out of your manure fork than a sexy one? I'm telling you, it's good looking too.
You know, it's like I said, I don't let my students use my manure fork, my flexing fork, simply because, you know, they're young. They don't understand, and they haven't put in the time of working with crappy forks. So go pick up the poop, but you cannot use my flexing fork. You have to use the one with the blue tine and the wooden handle. And then, you know, it's building character, Glenn.
Well, it is, because, you know, when you use the other one, you have that flicking problem where the poop gets flicked in your face, and every child should experience that on a daily basis for about 10 years.
You know, yeah, they're going to have to spend some time with the crappy ones because the flexing fork's too good. Now, for those of us who are older and can afford one, our listeners, I really recommend you guys go ahead and pick yourself up one because, like, you heard it from our last listener. She loves the fork. And you can do frozen poop with it pretty good, too.
Equity, MFG.com. Yeah, we don't have that problem. All right, Victoria is going to be ready for us in just 1 minute, right, Jennifer? You said she had groceries come to the door. She gets her groceries.
Grocery delivery arrived.
Have you ever done that, Jamie?
You know,
I don't have that luxury where we live.
You know, you live in London and you get groceries delivered. That's pretty cool. We're going to have to talk to her about that. Jeez.
All right. Well, let me play the opener. Let me play the opener and we'll see. Uh-oh.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
All right, let's see if Victoria has made it back to the door. Victoria, are you there? Not quite yet. We're just going to listen to music.
She's putting her eggs away right now. We're going to have to ask her what she got for groceries today.
Do you guys have the first delivery there?
Uh-oh. We're going to put her back on hold. It sounds like she's having a conversation with the grocery man, and we may not want to hear that.
Bounce, bounce, bounce. Hello, Mrs. Your groceries have arrived. Really? Is that a banana in your bucket? Okay. Mind taking it.
All right. This really is turning into the morning zoo.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I don't know why. You know, it's just one of those days.
It is.
We both woke up. We had our pre-show meeting. We're like, yeah. It's not going to go well today.
We're all like talking about other stuff and going, oh, we really have to do a show today. There's some news, but we really don't want to talk about it. So so we're just going to sit here and jabber until Victoria's back.
Victoria, you back?
I'm back.
Oh, yeah.
I, lost, little sex, and I don't know what we were talking about. Something about bananas and grocery, man. I just don't want to ask.
You didn't hear that.
Next time I'm going to make a story, like I'm performing some kind of emergency rescue. The grocery delivery man has arrived just at the exact minute that
Is he hot?
On the video.
Is he hot?
He's twice my age.
But I know what you mean. I gotta know what does the grocery man deliver? Like, did you go online and buy your how does this whole thing?
I don't know if that's a big thing over there, but here you do online shopping, and it's great because once you've done it once, you can just click and like reorder the same shop all the time and not have to actually consider. And you don't have to trail around the supermarket with those annoying trolleys putting in stuff that is unhealthy because you're hungry, and it takes 10 minutes and it's done and it all arrives the next day and it's now littered all over my kitchen. So it's a lazy girl's answer to going supermarket shopping.
That is brilliant and genius, and I want in. Does it cost, how much extra does it cost to have delivered? Like, what is the expense?
Nothing, like £3 for delivery, so like $5 or whatever. And you'd probably spend that on gas for going to your local store. So it's perfect.
Oh my gosh. If the local Walmart would come to my house, holy cow, it'd be great. Because I'm hired to take the baby into the store naked. That's another story for you guys.
I presume the baby naked, not you. That probably would be frowned upon.
I would pay $10 I'd pay $10 not to have to deal with the old people that live around here who take their carts down the middle of the aisle, stop, and then proceed to scan everything in the section with their cart in the middle of the aisle.
See, these are all the reasons I gave up to actually going to the shops, and now I just have it delivered online, and it's much better. You should start it. You should start a new craze.
Can I ask you a personal question? And I should know the answer to this. Are you single?
No, I live with my other half. He works for a bookmaker.
That's right, it's a bookie.
Yes, he is. He is a proper bookie.
We need to get him on sometime. That could be fun.
Hey. He used to be a racing trader, so an odds compiler, and then he moved to soccer. So he's now, he lives and breathes sport all the time.
Oh my gosh! Well, he must be excited about the World Cup. Who's his?
He is indeed. Although he's saying he's going to work for 30 days straight, so I'm not very happy about this. But at least he's not going to Brazil. But yes, it's a huge, huge time of year for them. I'm dreading it, but he's very excited.
Well, that's pretty cool. See, we learn stuff about you every day. All I have to do is ask. So Victoria, to get into the Horse and Country TV before they get mad at us for not talking about them, sad story coming out, talking about St. Nicholas Abbey.
Yeah. I don't know if you were familiar with him over there, but here he was one of our top flat race horses, and it's just been a really interesting story because he fractured a pastern in training last summer. He just won his third Coronation Cup at Epsom, and so I think they were devastated. And he's been a very successful race horse, and I think they wanted to give him a chance, a bit like Mill Reese 30 odd years ago. He also broke a leg and he was able to make a recovery and stand at stud. So maybe they were hoping to do the same. So he had his pastern pinned, and it's just been a really long road back. And he's had laminitis twice, and now he's ended up having such a severe bout of colic that he's lost his life. So it's quite sad after all that attempts to keep him. And actually there's a really interesting video on our website if you search for him, and it's all about what the things they were doing and him as a patient and the amazing surgery they did. So they tried so hard to save him, but sadly it wasn't to be.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking. I saw it on Facebook, and you just think about what the owners have gone through, much less the horse has gone through, to try to get back into shape, and then this happened. So very sad story, but We'll definitely fondly remember him. Now, we talked a little bit about this next story, but I'd like to get your perspective on it. Racehorse banned for refusing to race. I've never heard of anything like this ever, because usually a bunch of horses start running, the other one goes with them, but this did not happen.
I think some of them are very shrewd, and they quickly work out if they don't want to do something, this is how to get away with it. And so this is the horse who's got the very apt name Mad Moose, and he's very good when he runs. You know, he's picked up a number of wins. He's pretty decent. He's come second to the top national hunt horse in the country at the moment, but he's quite prone to letting the starter set them off, and he just stands still. And on his very last start, all the other horses went off. He went off reluctantly, probably got chased at the beginning with his trainer. And he got up to the first fence and just thought, you know what, I don't fancy this today, and pulled himself up. And the authorities have said, that's it, no more racing. And so they've given him a ban.
Yeah, you don't see steeplechase horses refuse fences. It's such an interesting...
No, you really don't. It's a pretty rare thing. And so, but I think he just very quickly worked out that if he didn't exert himself, he got to go home and back to his haynet. And that's all he cared about.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one more story before we get to the videos of the week. But Ben Mayer, Florida is the place to be in the United States right now if you're going to ride in any sort of fancy shows. Tell us about Ben Mayer.
Indeed. Well, of course, quite a few Brits are over there competing on the Winter Equestrian Festival, and we're all very jealous because we quite fancy 12 weeks in the sunshine as well. And last year, he had a number of wins out in Florida, and he's got his campaign off to a great start this year. He's won a $30,000 Grand Prix there on a horse that he basically doesn't ride very often, and he ended up borrowing it last October, and he occasionally gets to have him, he's managed to convince the owners to let him take her out to Florida, so he's got off to a good start out there.
Wow, good deal. Now, video of the we tell us about Kelly's Angels, and then we'll talk a little bit about Laura Tomlinson's horse.
Well, Kelly Marks is Monty Roberts' protege here in the UK. They work very closely together. And in her latest show, Kelly's Angels, she basically, as well as Monty teaching Kelly, Kelly's also taught all these other people her intelligent horsemanship techniques. And this lady's really interesting. She's a former barrister. And she's now, you know, lives out in the New Forest in southern England. And she has ponies who basically live on the forest, wild, but come home when it's time to eat and when they need their feet trimmed. So she does own them and she does look after them, but they are able to roam wild. So she's a very interesting character.
And I want to remind everybody...
Well, you did find... Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind everybody that we do a show with Monty Roberts' people, Monty Roberts' daughter, Debbie, and she has an episode coming out of Horsemanship Radio today. So, and she just said that, Victoria, that he got a call from the Queen last week, and he's heading over to meet with the Queen to make plans about the training of all of her horses again this year. So,
that's exciting. We should look out for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I ask a question? Let me jump in. What's a barrister?
Like a very sort of senior legal person in court. So they tend to be the ones, I don't know what the equivalent would be over there, but they would wear the white wigs and the black gowns and be involved in some of the major court cases. I'm sure there's legal people listening actually cringing about my description, but yeah, very senior legal person. That will be my answer.
Okay, gotcha. So, because I'm a huge fan of Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice, I just watched it 2 days ago, and Sense and Sensibility, and all these Jane Austen movies, and they talk about things, and sometimes there's a word that, like a barrister, and I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I just got to go on by, and I don't know. So I'm going to start writing things down, and I'll ask you every week.
Okay.
Sense and Sensibility, and I said this, and what does that mean? Anyway, I'll ask you.
because you live there
okay.
Now, talk a little bit about the horse that was retired, Laura Tomlinson's horse. I don't know how to say his name, so I'm letting you do it.
Mr. Hodges is his name. He is Laura Tomlinson, obviously, used to be Laura Bechtelsheimer, so Dr. Bechtelsheimer's daughter. And Laura and Alf, as he's called in the stable, are basically the partnership that took British Dressage from being definite also-rans to being medal contenders. And in the last couple of years, everybody's focused on Charlotte and Bellegro, and of course they are pretty much the best combination in the world at the moment, and it's incredible having them. But if we didn't have Laura and Alf, we wouldn't have started that whole golden age for British Dressage. You know, they were the ones that won our first medals, won our first individual medals at Olympics and World Championships. And he was, of course, third at the Olympics in 2012, and third behind Adelinda and Charlotte, who, of course, won gold. And so Alf is retired, and I don't know if you've spotted as well, Laura is expecting her first baby with her polo-playing husband, and that's all very Jane Austen for you.
Yeah.
And Alf is, you know, he's in his late teens now, so they've decided to retire him from top level. So we've made a video just celebrating some of his moments, and he's just so lovely. Big chestnut with four white socks and a big white blaze, so he's really handsome.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. And to watch his extended trot is just, it takes your breath away. So you guys check that out, Horse and Country TV. Victoria, as always, we thank you so much for being a part of the show. And go put your groceries away.
I will, before everything starts to defrost. But yes.
The ice cream's now melting all over the counter.
It is, apart from I'm on a January health kick, so no ice cream, just salad and corn. How unfair.
Thanks, Victoria.
My pleasure.
And of course, it's horseandcountry.tv. Well, let's take a break for our song, Jamie. This is going to be Viva La Cowboy by Dan Roberts. You can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com.
All you cowboys and cowgirls, I really need your help singing the chorus on this one. It's called Viva the Cowboy. I hear a lot of talk about him dying. They're calling him a vanishing breed. They sing them sad songs about how he's come and gone, as if he's faded into history. Well, I can tell you something for certain. Yeah, one thing that I know for a fact, they ain't exactly dropping the curtain on a way of life that's way intact. So Viva the Cowboy, long live his kind. It's to the ranchers and the banglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches. Hey, they can weather the change. So Viva the Cowboy, he's still got a home on the range. Don't die! Westerns and pickup trucks are still hauling hay. They keep on raising the bar in the PBR, and there's thousands in the PRCA. You won't find them on the endangered species. They ain't protected anywhere that I know, and they're still making them as tough and as bronky as they did when the buffalo rode. Yeah, people are cowboys. Long live his kind. It's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches and they can weather the change.
He's still got a home on the range.
God help me out of here. He but a cowboy. Long live the time. The ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll in the punches. Hey, they can weather the chains. So even a cowboy, he's still got a home on the range. Yes, even a cowboy, he'll always have a home on the range.
Yeah.
Well, as you can probably guess, that song is called Viva la Cowboy. It's by Dan Roberts, and you can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. We did a special musical episode with Dan. If you didn't get to hear that, just go to horsesinthemorning.com and search for Dan Roberts, and you'll find the special musical episode that we did with him. He was the only one that we've ever done a musical episode with as he was rounding up cattle. You remember that?
It was awesome. It was awesome. They were mooing and everything. It was great.
So that was the first time that's ever happened, that's for sure. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. I got to tell you, we talked about this a long time ago, Jamie, and it came up again because I saw an article this morning about naming your cars and your trucks. And that's something, remember we talked about that a long time ago about whether you actually name your cars and your trucks? Well, 61% of people, according to automotive.com, name their vehicles. Now, I got to thinking about it. Our current Jeep, we don't have a name for it. We just call it the Jeep. Do you have a name for your current car, your truck?
It's the Black Pearl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did name it the Black Pearl. Yeah, we had a silver truck that was named the Enterprise. Because it was big and diesel and stuff. That was kind of a name. But they gave the top names for cars. And I was just kind of surprised at this. Do you want to hear them?
Yes.
Okay. The most popular car names, the first was the Beast.
The Beast.
Yeah. I think that's because we've all... And, you know, I'm wondering, Jennifer has a theory that we don't keep our cars as long anymore, so people tend not to name them, that we always named our cars. And then I heard another theory. In this article, they said that people tend to name their cars when they have crappy cars, when they have junkers.
Yeah.
And that's probably where the Beast comes from. So.
Yeah, exactly. The Black Pearl came from the fact that, you know, that's Johnny Depp's ship in the movie. And it was kind of right around that time where, and the color of the truck, they were like, oh, the color is Black Pearl. I was like, it's the Black Pearl, matey. So that's how we got it.
Other popular names are Christine. I don't know why Christine gets that one. Silver Bullet, Batmobile, and Big Red. There was... another popular name that made the list was Towbait, B-A-I-T, Towbait, which is a good refers back to the crappy cars again. But we've had a few.
I dated a guy that had a really old crappy truck, and he named it Betty. Is that on the list?
No, Betty's not on the list. But POS is probably on the top of the list, and they just didn't use it because I've had a few of them that I called POS. I tell you what.
Yep.
Jennifer, post on Facebook. Does everybody have a current name for their truck? I don't think anybody ever names their trailer, do they?
My trailer is called Awesome, is what it's called. So I don't know.
You're loving your new trailer, aren't you?
Yes, it's awesome. I just go hang out in there sometimes.
Because you don't get to go away too often anymore. You're not going away enough.
I know. Well, I wanted to let you know of something that's going on down in your neck of the woods. And I'm sure that you're going to be a serious contender for one of these items at the auction. There is it's called the Soiree du Cheval. And it is going on in Wellington, Florida at the International Polo Club. And it's January 24th.
So you've got a little while to start saving up because they're going to be doing an auction. And some of the items up for auction, I just thought maybe you'd be interested in. I know Jennifer and I would. And so you got a VIP trip for two to the Kentucky Derby. You go in style watching from your Sky Terrace suite. And ooh, right at the finish line, a gourmet menu, full bar, and also two nights at a Brown Hotel. And that's, of course, the super classic one. Also another one is a private charter in the British Virgin Islands.
He wants to go to the Kentucky Derby.
I know, right?
He's telling you.
A private charter to the British Virgin Islands, up to 10 people in 5 staterooms on a private yacht. Another one, a VIP concert with
Wait a minute. There's private yachts, and then there's this private yacht. It's a 130-foot motor yacht.
I don't know if that's big or not.
That is huge.
Well, that's fancy then. I'm sure we can all afford it. Another thing is you can go to the final Sunday at the Masters, like the hardest ticket in the world to get, and you can just stay in a beautiful apartment nearby. Also, tickets to the, when I say tickets, the All-Tech FEI World Equestrian Games in France, you're going to get to go. A-level opening ceremony tickets. You get choice of dressage events, graining, endurance, paired dressage, breakfast and dinners included, transportation to everything. We are like, you're talking major access to the World Equestrian Games. Also, you get to go to a ranch, a luxury ranch in Montana. There's another Spruce Meadows Masters. And Jennifer and I would like to pool our money, and then we'll have to see who gets it, because you can bid on having a lesson with Stefan Peters at his current home with Ravel. You get to ride Ravel in a lesson with Stefan Peters. Okay, to just remind you of who Ravel is, fourth place at the 2008 Olympic Games, won the World Cup in 2009, Aachen in 2009, 2 bronze medals at the WEGS. We're talking the dressage horse of all dressage horses in the U.S., and you get to take a lesson for 45 minutes on him. I want to bid.
Can I get back to the yacht a little bit? I just looked this yacht up, the Lion Share Yacht, which, by the way, is highlighted on superyachts.com. So that gives you some idea. It offers accommodations for 12 guests in 5 luxury bedroom suites, and it has 7 crew members, including a cook, on board. So, do you think that we'll be able to bid enough to get 4 nights on the Lion Share? I doubt it.
You know, I don't do boats. I don't care what kind of boat it is. So I'll ride Ravel. You go. And so all of this, of course, you can bid on these fantastic items. It's the United States Equestrian Team Foundation. It's hosting the benefit. It's at the Pavilion at the International Polo Club in Wellington, Florida. You know you can't afford it if the name is Soiree du Cheval.
That's right. Exactly. First of all, you can't afford to buy the clothes to get in.
No. And so it'll be live auction. All the proceeds go into the U.S. teams in Normandy. So there you go. You can be a part of that.
Very good. I'll just head right on down there for the 24th and show up in my jeans. You think they'll let me in? Doubt it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
All right, let's head off to our next segment, which Jennifer has a new opener for now.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
Thank you, Jennifer. And, of course, it is the Horse Health segment. And we have with us today Shelley Smith of Stanley Forage Company. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about hay and feed and all of that stuff and weeds. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I was going to call you the weed lady, but that didn't sound good in light of all of the new laws being passed across the country. So,
the weed lady. That's right. As long as she's licensed, it's okay.
That's right. As long as you're licensed. But I don't think Stanley...
It isn't legal in the state that I live in, so I am certainly not licensed
okay.
to be called the weed lady. I am, however, referred to the hay lady quite
okay.
frequently.
So you're not in Colorado then?
I am not.
Stanley is not getting into a new business in Colorado at this point, as far as we know.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning.
Well, it's so nice to have you on. You know, I always thought, until I really went to your website and did some, you know, homework for this morning's show, that it was Stanley, S-T-A-N-L-E, you know, it's the L-E-E. I always left out the D. Am I the only one?
It's very common that they refer to Stanley like Stanley Tools or some of the other Stanley names, but Stan Lee with the D is actually a company that has been named after our founder.
Okay.
And we have three generations of hay farmers that own our company.
And tell us a little bit about the company. You guys are, and we've bought hay from you in the past, but lots of people may not realize how big you are or what exactly Stan Lee is.
Our company is based in southeastern Idaho, which is obviously in the northwestern United States. We own over 26,000 acres that we farm ourselves, and that produces anywhere between 50 and 75% of our needs as far as the forages that we manufacture. And that is our focus, is forage, various types of hay. And we have a very large manufacturing facility on our property that we run ourselves, which creates our pellets, cubes, compressed bales, and our chopped forages in a bag. So we do all of that ourselves. There is some additional forage that we buy from other areas of Idaho and in the northwestern United States. But we primarily grow all of our forage ourselves.
So that's how you can keep the quality of the hay up, is by, by really being hands-on from start to finish.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whether it is, a pellet, for example, a Timothy pellet or orchard grass pellet or an alfalfa pellet that goes in a bag or a cube of any of those varieties, we have controlled the vast majority of that forage from the time it was seeded, fertilized, grown in the field, cut, baled, and then processed. So whether it is, a pelleted or a cubed product or a baled product, we have a great deal of control, and we have a very large distribution network throughout the United States and also the world.
So, Shelley, can the words hay and forage be used interchangeably? Because I know some things you call forage and some things you call hay. Or are there specific circumstances under which one is correct and one is not?
We use the word forage because it allows us to refer to not only your traditional two-string or three-string bale of hay that you are accustomed to, but also the other products, which are a processed form of hay. But hay and forage can be used interchangeably. Roughage, which we also do a little bit with roughage, cannot necessarily all be used interchangeably with forage. Roughage would refer to items such as deep pulp pellets and deep pulp shreds. And we also have that as part of our forage lineup, even though it's technically not a forage.
Well, I see in your website you talk about noxious weed-free forage. And, so we've all gotten hay before that have had tons of weeds in it. And I assume that's what you're referring to is your quality control, making sure that that doesn't happen.
Certified noxious weed-free forage originates with the state of Idaho. The state of Idaho, Wyoming, Washington, the northwestern states, which are renowned for growing the best forage anywhere in the world, have a certified noxious weed-free program. And that is run by the state in conjunction with the Bureau of Land Management and the forestry program, the U.S. Forestry. And the purpose of providing a certified noxious weed-free program is those individuals who choose to trail ride or backpack camp with their horses in places like Yellowstone, they can provide a forage that protects the actual lands and the forestry in which they are traveling. So it is required that you feed your horse before you go camping through Yellowstone, horseback riding through Yellowstone, or any of the Bureau of Land Management regulated forest areas. It is required that 3 days prior you provide your horse with a certified noxious weed-free forage, and throughout the period of time which you are in the forest or the Bureau of Land Management regulated areas, that you continue to feed them that type of product.
So I didn't know that.
It's more to protect the land than it is, you know, and keep an introduction for you know, noxious weeds in those areas.
I didn't realize that.
That being said, our focus at Stanley Hay is to provide as much high quality forage or hay to your horse as we possibly can. And 87% of the hay growing areas of Idaho are actually certified noxious weed free.
What weeds are we talking about with noxious weeds?
It's a pretty extensive list. Idaho has one of the longest lists. And we're talking about things like hoary alyssum is an example, perennial pepperweed, the various types of thistle, and the list, like I said, it contains 64 different varieties of noxious weeds.
Oh, wow. So I assume that if you're in competition and you're being tested, that are there any noxious weeds that will then test? Do you know? And, you know, using Stanley forage would eliminate that possibility?
To my knowledge, there are not any drug tests on your horses for competition that would identify a weed. There are some banned substances such as yucca that are said to have anti-inflammatory properties if fed in large enough quantities. But whether or not the regulatory body has a test to actually identify yucca is questionable. To my knowledge, last I checked into that, which was a couple of years ago, they didn't have the ability to identify that in the system. But that doesn't mean feed yucca if you're going performing in a Grand Prix.
Right. So now tell me, what do you see years ago, obviously, going back a long time, we would feed hay and that was pretty much it. We didn't have the pelleted or the cubed form. And right now, you know, we use alfalfa cubes for our horses because they're convenient and easy and they keep and it's less storage and that kind of thing. Do you see a trend in what you're selling, that there's something that, you know, is selling more now than it did 5 years ago? What are the trends?
We actually provide a straight Timothy grass pellet. We also provide a straight orchard grass pellet. And then we provide a Timothy alfalfa cube. And so you have an option as a horse owner. If you don't want to feed a straight alfalfa pellet or a straight alfalfa cube, you have some options to feed other types of forages and what you find with a processed forage. Even if you primarily feed a local type of forage, you have something that's local to your area. I know, Glenn, you're in Florida, so
yep.
Bermuda grass is very popular in Florida.
Yep.
In that case, even if you're feeding a local forage and maybe it's not the best quality, which is, you know, something we're seeing all over the United States this year, and you supplement between 5 and 10 pounds with a high quality Western processed forage, like, you know, our Timothy pellets or our alfalfa pellets or tubes, whatever format you prefer, you will actually see a better utilization in the digestive tract and a better hindgut health in your horse. So you can actually see those benefits with just supplementation of a small percentage, because a horse should eat, if he's a 1,000-pound horse, approximately 20 pounds of forage per day. So we are seeing some of those trends, and partially because we're giving the horse owner some options.
Yeah, and you know, every horse owner, obviously, we have the emotional aspect too. Forget what's good for your horse. We all like to see our horses eating hay because they look so happy, you know, and they tend to get through the cubes or the pellets much quicker. So, you know, for our emotional state, we want to see them eating hay, right? I mean, that's just part of it's part of who we are.
It's part of who we are, but that comes from how the digestive tract of the horse is set up. They have the most complex digestive tract of any domestic animal. And that's something people need to keep in mind. So providing them with a superior forage, whether it be baled hay, or, you know, like we've talked about, some of the processed forms, it is paramount to their overall health.
Right, right.
So I know, Shelley, that you work with a certain section within the United States, but overall in the United States, are baled hays or bagged hays or pelleted or cubed hays, is that something that you can say, oh, overall nationally people tend to buy more baled hay than cubed? Or is that very regionalized as far as what we prefer to buy as horse owners?
It is regional. The preference that people have in the Southeast or in the Southern United States can be quite different than what you see in the Northern or Central portion of the United States. And a lot of it is the human preference and is based on what they have grown up feeding their animals because of what was at one time available in their region. So on the East Coast, orchard grass is very, very popular. And you'll find that orchard grass is very popular in Virginia. Orchard grass grows very, very well in Virginia. So people have a tendency on the East Coast to feed an orchard or an orchard alfalfa mix. Whereas if you go to, let's say, California, they are more focused on Timothy, and because of some of the content of their water in California, they will prefer not to feed a straight alfalfa because of the increased risk of enterolift, and it's not because of the calcium level in the alfalfa. It's a combination of what's in the alfalfa and what's in their water source.
Interesting. Oh, that is very interesting. So we talked about this the other day. We were discussing something. I don't remember what it was. But as is so oft the case in the horse industry, some of our decisions are still made on, why do you do that? Because we always have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, getting back
to
the
people get set in their ways.
Yeah.
Well, and we tend, you know, there's we tend to learn if your parents are into horses, you learn from your parents, or if you're in a barn, you learn from the people at the barn. We tend to learn what we learn as far as feeding and caring for the horses from the people that are around us, or, you know, our mentors. And, you know, if they're not doing it right, you learn to do it wrong, you know, so there's most of us don't take classes on how to take care of our horses before we buy a horse. What I'm saying.
That is very true.
You know, so where can people find your forages?
We have a vast list on our website, a dealer network or a retailer network. And if you go to our website, which is Stanley Premium Western Forage, you can just Google that and it'll pull up our website, which is stanleyforage.com. And you can punch in your zip code and pick the radius that you're willing to travel. And if you are unable to find a dealer or a retailer close to you, then you can contact our corporate office either through our website, or you can pick up the phone and call us on our 1-800 number, and we will assist you. Someone like myself will contact you and say, oh, well, we have, you know, this retailer in your area, or I have a distributor who sells to this list of retailers. So we are always more than happy to assist any of the end users to find our product. But we are in every state, with the exception of Alaska, I believe, throughout the United States.
Yeah, I just looked you up here in Ocala, 5 miles. 5 miles from where we live, there are 6 stores that carry your products. So I know you're down here, that's for sure. Well, and you were in Lexington. I know we lived in Lexington, and we bought from you guys at dealers there in Lexington as well. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say we have a distribution center in Lexington that also sells retail. We have a distribution center located in Maryland where we rail product all the way from Idaho. We do that to Lexington. We do that to Georgia and to Florida. So we have product all over the East Coast and, of course, out West, and we are more than happy to assist any of the end users with specific nutritional needs. And, you know, paramount is what kind of forage you feed your horses, and that it's the quality that they deserve.
You know, you just perked Jennifer's ears up, I'm sure, because you said rail. You do it by train, huh?
We do.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. You know, I just thought, wow, you know, you ship everything by truck because you see all the trucks with the hay and all that forage. But that's cool. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Shelley, for being on the show with us. We really appreciate it. And again, it's Stanley, Stanlee, forage.com. Take care, Shelley.
Thank you so much. Bye.
So that's our horse health segment for this week. Thank you for setting that up, Jennifer. And Jamie had to, I think she had to bail out on us because the child is still sick and crying, so I don't blame her. And Jennifer,
she missed all the hay stuff.
I know. She was looking forward to that segment, too. She's like, I got to hear this part. Because, you know, those of us that live in areas where you can't get really good hay easily and cheaply really are concerned about alternatives. And that's why we take a look at the pellets and the cubes. And that's why we feed those, is because it actually ends up being better for the horse and a little bit less expensive than us just buying straight up hay. I think Jamie said on Monday that she's paying $15, $16 a bale right now. So when...
It was an interesting conversation. There was a lot of things she mentioned in there that I didn't know about.
Right. Yep, for sure. Thank you, Jennifer, for setting that up. And we want to remind you that all the shows will be coming out here this week. With the Driving Radio Show is now out for the week, so you want to take a look for that. All of our shows can be found at horseradionetwork.com or over on our app, and you can find it in the App Store. And you just want to go to iOS or Android app stores and search for Horse Radio Network. One point I don't think I made it on this show the other day is we did hear from a very good listener who listens all the time and said, I won't throw her under the bus here, and said, I'm getting this message from my phone that my phone memory is running out, and it's all because of Horse Radio Network's app. That is true. If you download the shows to your phone, what you're going to want to do is delete them off of your phone after you've listened to them. And the way you do that is you, I think on the iOS one, on the iPhone, you swipe your finger over the episode, go to the downloads tab, swipe your finger over the episode, and a delete button will come up. You hit delete, and it'll take it out of your phone. If you're on the iOS, you have to just hold, you just take your finger and hold, put your finger on the episode you want to delete, hold it there for a couple seconds, and the delete button pops up, and you can delete it that way. So I think a lot of people are downloading the episodes. Is it a swipe on the iOS?
I'm trying that right now. To delete on my iPhone, I swipe right to left on the episode.
Correct.
And the little red delete button pops up.
Okay.
I'm glad. See, I didn't know that. I had these things piling up on my phone like crazy.
Yeah, they will. They take up a lot of room because sound files are big and they take up a lot of room in your phone. So you're only going to want to download the ones that you want to listen to over the next day or two, and then delete them off right after you listen to them, and that'll help keep your phone cleaned up. But that's something that I thought everybody knew, but unless you have another app where you're downloading things, you wouldn't know that. So I wanted to remind everybody that. We'll post that on Facebook too as well, so that everybody can keep their phones cleaned up and our app doesn't make your phone mad. And what else is going on? Horsemanship Radio will be out today. That's very popular, but I was looking at the numbers for that and the amount of feedback we're getting. Debbie is doing a terrific job with that show. And of course, Debbie Roberts is Debbie Laux is Monty Roberts' daughter. And she hosts that show and does a terrific job with it. She always has very fascinating guests and, talking about natural horsemanship and horsemanship in general, good horsemanship. So you'll find that over at horseradionetwork.com as well. And we don't plug it enough. Don't forget Jennifer's show, Horse Tip Daily. Put a plug in for your show, Jennifer.
Horse Tip Daily, the almost daily short and sweet info dense podcast for horse lovers. We talk about topics, everything from getting horses who rush fences to jump more carefully and quietly to how to DIY a saddle rack. And we cover it all. It's lots of fun, short and sweet.
Yeah, I mean, there's been everything from building your own website to using Facebook properly in the horse business. I mean, it's just been everything. If it involves a horse and a tip, it's on there. And, she said, I like when you say almost daily, or what did you say, almost daily?
Almost daily.
And if you're wondering why there are not some days, that's the day she rides her horse. So,
right.
Yes. So if you don't see an episode that day, Jennifer's out riding her horse. Well, that's it for today. Let's call it a day. We'll be back here again. Tomorrow we'll have a recorded show. Is that right, Jennifer? Tomorrow's a recorded show. And then we will be back here live on Friday morning. Really bad ads time. Do we have a prize? Do we know what the prize is, by the way?
We don't. It's going to be top secret until 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay, so we do have a prize. We just don't know what it is yet. So once we figure out what the prize is, Jennifer will post it on Facebook. And send your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. That just makes it so easy for her to make sure that yours gets put in there and eligible for the prizes. And we do thank everybody. She gets a lot of ads every week, and that segment would not be as funny without you guys out there doing the homework. So, I mean, you're the ones that send in the ads. We just make fun of them, but you're the ones that send in the funny parts.
So if they're not funny, people, it's your fault.
That's right. If Jamie and I are having a bad week, it's your fault. That's right. I like that. That's good. Always blame the listener, huh? That's not really the way it's supposed to be, Jennifer. Thank you. Let's say goodbye. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you later. See ya. Wear your helmets. Good luck.